everybody, and welcome back. It's Nick and Anas, your hosts for this week's episode of Geekable Podcast, which is now in association with Omniverse Comics. We are the geekiest show in this reality, dedicated to hosting passionate people, discussing our excitement for comics, old and new, what's hot in the industry, and of course, all things MCU. If you enjoy this show, please hit that subscribe or follow button so you don't skip a beat. Now, this is an awesome, awesome podcast we're about to have. You know, it's always an exciting time of year. We have Comic-Con. We have awesome content coming out right now with Loki Episode 2. That's been out since Thursday. Really exciting time. Every time it rolls around to be New York Comic-Con, it's always a great reminder of why I love comics and all of this fun stuff that we always talk about. Wouldn't you agree, Anas?
Absolutely. It's the news start coming in, and like, you're refreshing Twitter, you're refreshing CBR, you just want to see everything, and the hype, the excitement of like what the next year will offer. It's just, I love it.
It really is. It's just like, every time, the best way I can describe it is like there's like a childlike wonder that, you know, being
it's
20.
It's the Super Bowl of comics.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. It's like the Super Bowl of comics. And it's so funny, you know, we're talking as I record this. I'm in San Diego right now. And it's, of course, like the story of my life. When it's New York Comic Con, I'm in San Diego. And this past San Diego Comic Con, I was in New York. So I don't. Oh man, I don't know who makes these rules on the universe, but they're playing games with me, and I don't appreciate it. But regardless, like you said, everything's on AIPT, everything's everywhere these days. I mean, sometimes even like huge outlets will cover what's going on at Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah.
So regardless, you can stay in the loop. That's what we're here to do. This episode will contain spoilers for Loki Season 2, Episode 2, and we'll be going over some awesome comic news and geek-related stuff spinning out of New York Comic-Con the past couple days. So buckle in. Going to be a great episode. Anas, why don't we kick it off with Loki? Lots to talk about with Episode 2. I loved it. I thought this was an excellent
episode. I told you you'd love it.
Episode. Yeah, right? I was almost like, I'm kind of excited to watch it. And you were like, no, it's a good one. And whenever you say it's a good episode, you never fail. So it was indeed a great episode. Let's let you kick it off. Thoughts? Comments?
Okay, so I made a critique last episode, and I'm already like, you know, they already proved me wrong. I was saying I want to see unhinged Loki using his magic powers, and this episode we got exactly that. You know, we got a scary Loki doing bad things, doing villainous things, and just letting go and unleashing his abilities. And I just loved seeing that kind of Loki back in the picture.
Hell yeah. That to me is like maybe the best version of Loki. It's just when he's kind of like that. And you did. You called it last episode. That's so funny that you bring that up, because we did have a discussion on that. I, you know what I just really love on par with Loki, because I love Loki as a character, just how the show is made. Like, there's just something about how the shots are angled.
The vibe, The vibes are vibing.
the vibes are vibing. Like, I finished the episode, and I'm like, well, it's just well made.
I think this season is definitely not going to disappoint. I'm already on board the ride, and I don't want to get off.
Yeah, same. And what do we have? 4 episodes left, so things are going to start heating up. I mean, we're halfway through come this Thursday, you know, for episode 3 of 6. You know, it's going to be over just as quickly as it began. And, you know, episode 3, things heat up. So let's see what's going on. One of my favorite parts of this episode, you know, I know you're on board for this, is
the
how much Sylvie
returns.
Yep. There it is. There it is.
The prodigal daughter returns.
Here she is. She's so good. Just the actress, the character, everything about it. I'm
the
on board for her.
They have, like, I could feel the tension in the air. You know, like when he came to McDonald's. Also, I wonder how much McDonald's paid for that ad, because the ad placement was everywhere. They had Owen Wilson sit there and be like, this is an excellent meal. Like,
yeah, what do you say? I want an
I
apple
like,
pie.
What? That's an ad.
Yeah, straight up was an ad. I was actually surprised. I was looking at the sign when they were outside the location, and I was like, oh, did it say like McDonald's or something?
Yeah, I thought it was going to be like something unique, you know, something fictional.
Right.
But they full on went like, yeah, McDonald's.
Yeah, full on McDonald's. And you know what? Honestly, good ad placement because it felt right. Like you have Sylvie just wanting to live her life. And, you know, unfortunately, she's only going to find, even beyond this show, I bet, she's only going to find herself wrapped up in more timeline nonsense mess than she can probably, you know, fit in the palm of her hands. So I think she's here to stay. I think Kevin Feige and everyone at Marvel knows that she's a hit. And I don't see any reason for her not to expand beyond the show. Absolutely. What are your thoughts on that?
Honestly, I at this point, I fear not the Marvel fatigue, but like introducing somebody from a show into the movie.
You have
a lot to get elaborate on. You know?
Yeah, because
you are fans who are going to watch the Avengers, let's say the next Avengers movie, they're going to go see the Avengers and they're not going to know who the Sylvie person is. Sure, hardcore MCU fans are going to cheer when they see her, but, you know, normies, let's call them that, they're not going to know who the hell this is. And I feel like the same is getting, like, they're setting up Ms. Marvel right now.
They are.
This extent, when she's going to be in the Marvels movie, are people going to know her story? Are people going to have watched Ms. Marvel? Are people people have probably watched WandaVision and they know Monica, but will they have watched Ms. Marvel? I don't know. You know?
And even let's go back to the quote normies that we're calling them. I like that. which is like AKA my parents who I watch all of this stuff with, right?
Who but your every parents time have watched everything though.
Yeah, they
I would
have,
call
but
your
they...
parents normies.
It's so funny.
I would call my best friend Nora a normie because she's like, when is the next Wonder Woman Marvel movie is? And I'm like, sweetie, that's not Marvel.
That's funny. I have those friends too. Shout out Nora, you're not alone. No, I it's funny because my parents require, we'll call it, you know, education before we walk into a theater or a show. And,
like
you know,
refresher.
You bring up, yeah, a refresher, right? Just a refresher. I'm not challenging you, but I want to say, as my parents being normies, WandaVision came out like 3 years ago ish 2020 did it come out?
Yeah, 2020. Oh my god,
I don't think they're gonna remember who the hell she is. God bless them. And just being kind of normal viewers, yes, they watch all the content, but
I don't blame them.
Yeah, it doesn't really stick, let's say. So that's where I'm like, you know, you bring up Miss Marvel, Kamala Khan being in Captain Marvel coming out. Let's see if people resonate with Miss Marvel, Kamala Khan coming into the movie.
Yeah.
Let's see. This is a test, if you ask me. And
absolutely.
You know, Monica Rambeau. She
takes off if this the Marvels movie is like a hit. I can definitely see Sylvie popping up elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And like this being like kind of a sets the tone that viewers are ready to accept newer characters being introduced in this fashion.
Yeah.
Like coming up on Disney Plus, then seeing them in the big screen. They're happy with that.
Yes, and let's see it. I mean, we know characters like Daredevil that's going to happen too. And,
for sure.
You know, because he's just big enough where we know he's a franchise character where he can hold his own. Or the Sylvies. And, you know, is confidence there as high? I would say no. I would say it's not. You know, it's untested waters right now. So I'm very curious about that as well, walking into this, this movie that's literally, God, what is it, like 3 or 4 weeks away now for Ms. Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see how that goes. But getting back on track, I'm a huge, huge advocate for Loki. I thought that the second episode was just perfect in terms of moving the plot, which is all I can ask for, like a second episode, right? We have everything established in the first. Good flow.
I was watching this with my partner, and my partner was just like, when they started pruning all the timelines, they were like, so wait, are they just genociding entire universes right now? And I was like, yep. He's like, so this is worse than Thanos. And I was like, whoa, yeah, wait, it is. Like, Thanos killed half of one universe. They're killing entire universes.
Yeah, universes. Yeah. Yeah. What did she say? Billions. I mean, it's more than that. It's like quintillions.
It's
if you're talking universes, quintillion. There's actually probably not even, I mean, there's a word for it, but God, it's more than quintillions of life forms. Yeah. And it's almost unfathomable, the destruction that's being caused. So question for you, with the episode being done. This was the first thing I wrote down. Where do you see it going from here? Because, you know, they need, you know, obviously right now the hurdle is that they need Kang, or He Who Remains, who is Kang, to open up the vault. You know, the renegade faction of the TVA is kind of dealt with for the most part. I don't see that plot thread really coming back, but we'll see. Where do you think this is going to go? I have a little theory, but I'm wondering if you, if my theory is that they're going to have to find Kang at some point in the past, convince him somehow miraculously to come and handle it, because they need, what is it, his DNA signature, we'll call it, or something like that.
So I will say this. As soon as I heard they needed his DNA signature, I thought, well, Kang wouldn't be willing to come, but what wouldn't Iron Lad be willing to come?
Ooh, I like that. I like that a lot.
Every single Marvel show, Disney Plus show so far, has introduced a member of the Young Avengers / Champions, right?
Yeah, hell yes, buddy. Love where you're going with this. So keep going.
Why not just, keep going. Why don't they introduce Iron Lad? We need Young Thing, Young Kang.
Yeah, yeah. And there it would be. That would be mint.
And you know, the recent Kang comic run was very much like in line with that, just like introducing, reintroducing Iron Lad to a new reader base. So
yeah,
we both know that as much as they say the comics and the, you know, MCU don't intersect, they do influence each other, and there is plot points and threads being pulled from like very far up that is setting things up in advance. So
100%.
I'm not gonna say this is full on, like, I'm not standing by this, but it's a really interesting theory.
I agree. Very interesting theory. I agree with all of that. Would love to see Iron Lad. This would be a cool place to put him. But ultimately, I think that based off of the Ant-Man Quantumania, was the last post-credit scene where we see, and this is where I'm getting my theory from, so I can't cite myself for pure originality here in the hypothesis. But no, I see. I we did see Kang. We saw Mobius and Loki just kind of like looking at him, and you know, he's in timely, the, you know, and it's clearly the past. Let's see. I think they're going to drag him in, and I think that would also touch on our last episode where we were like, where is Kang going to be here? How's this going to work? How much is he going to be in here? Let's see.
It's gonna be one heck of a ride, and I'm all for it, honestly.
Yes. Yes. Yep. I think this is a very, you know what? It's discussions like this when we podcast that reminds me how healthy the show is, because we didn't really go too deep into stuff when you and I would have our calls about, you know, certain shows and certain episodes. It's always the Loki stuff.
Honestly,
you and I always.
It's because Loki is so ingrained in the universe and it plays with time, so anything is possible. Yeah. Other shows were very self-contained, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, when I was watching Ms. Marvel, I didn't even want Daredevil to show up, right? I was just focused on Ms. Marvel. She was the
great
lead.
Way
she
to put it.
Star.
Yep.
When I was watching WandaVision, for example, it was a Nexus event. It was a giant thing. It was an entire town. And, you know, S.W.O.R.D. was involved, FBI was involved. I was like, anybody could show up.
Yep.
Right?
Great way to
put it. And same with Loki. Anybody can show up.
Yep. Anybody can show up. Like, you know, me being the fan that I am, I'm still like, okay, alternate universes. Who could show up here? Like, who could maybe pop in, pop out?
Yeah.
You never know. Like, who knows? So, no, all really good stuff. I'm just happy right now. I finished the episode like a few minutes ago, you know, as I said, and I was like, that was just very good out of 5 stars. I'd probably give like 4.4, 4.5 out of 5. I had no problem with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very
well executed.
Honestly,
I think right now it's one of the best superhero shows that's coming out. My second favorite is probably, like, you know, where I'm currently watching is Gen V. I'm absolutely
loving it.
Yeah, I knew
you were going to say that. Still have to go on that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
so good. Like, I just really right today after we watched Loki, me and my partner watched Gen V, the latest episode, and I was just like, gosh darn, like, this is the Adult Mutant Academy X show that I've been wanting, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. I have my long flight tomorrow. What is it, 6 hours?
You're gonna love it. Download the episodes.
Yeah, I have to see if I have what it's on Prime, right?
It's on Prime. Yeah, you can totally download them for offline viewing.
Good. Okay. Yeah, I'll have to do that and and just binge it there for the flight. Yeah. But yeah, I'm so excited.
I need you to call me like after and tell me what you think. Oh, I'm sure you're gonna love it.
All right. Long voice message inbound. Yeah. No, that sounds good. So let us know what your thoughts were on Loki in the comments when we make a post for this episode. Let us know, DM us. We love hearing from you guys and girls and everybody who chimes in here to any extent. So please do that. That's what we're here for. We love podcasting, but we also love talking to all of the other enthusiastic fans that watch it and enjoy it or hate it too. We love talking to everybody about it to any extent. So please let us know. And we're here to help answer any questions too. I don't know if it's just me, but I have gotten so many questions from fans and even like, normies, right? Normal people that watch the show and everybody just like, hey, what does this mean? Why did this happen about Loki? And I don't think it's the bad kind either. Like, I think people are just generally like, it's not curious. Poorly explained. I'm just curious what this means. How does it fit in? And I love doing that for people. So, good stuff. Anything else to touch on for Loki?
Not much. No, I think that's, we about covered it all. Nothing much happened. Oh, I will want to say, what did you think of that torture sequence when they put X5 in that little cube box?
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot. I liked that. And even more so, I loved sort of like the chase scene that they had chasing him.
I love the chase scene. Yes.
Yeah, that was great.
Oh, and the shadows like grew the horns and like, grabbed them.
So
oh, my God.
Awesome. Oh, man, I loved it so much. I was just something about it. It's just so cool. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, great action, great pace, great story, great plot flow. Everything. And you and I have standards, and I think that this definitely met it. We're not afraid to say when stuff's not good. So let's see. Hopefully it carries on. I'm very, very confident, knock on wood though, but that it will. And I think with that, let's transition into some awesome New York Comic Con news that is that's having everybody talk, right? A lot of exciting stuff coming out.
Big drops.
And you know what? Everybody listening too, if you're an MCU fan, definitely we're keeping this high level so that all listeners can enjoy the episode. So, please, I would, if there's anything that you'd love elaboration on or would love to go deeper on, check out our Instagram handle, Geekable_podcast, where, I haven't done it yet, but I will kind of go through all of the stuff that happened into more granular detail. So again, if you're here for Loki, I would encourage you to stay along for New York Comic Con news because, this is pitching stuff that's going to matter this year in 2024 in regards to comics and exciting stuff.
It might be setting something up for the MCU later down the line. You never know.
Yep. There it is. Yep. Just like we talked about. So let's dive into it, right? The first thing I have up here is art from Steve McNevin's Secret Project with Charles Soule, in which they're calling it sort of like a love letter to Frank Miller. See some rather ominous pictures of like Steve Rogers sort of getting his ass beat, falling. There's like some old creepy looking guy holding Captain America's shield. And it just looks so ominous, and
I'm all for it. It's giving me Captain America Born Again,
it is
like, and it's gonna be that type of book.
And I say it looks like Captain America, but given like the heart rate monitor sort of vibe, and it looks like he's holding like a stick, I don't know, it gives me Matt Murdock vibes.
Yeah, that's
why like,
I said Matt Born Again.
It looks like old man Murdock to some sort of extent here, but
could be, man. The all black outfit could be a priest's outfit.
I like that. The first thing that came to my mind was that Steve McNevin and Charles Soule, the last book they worked on, god, it was like 2016, which was it Inhuman, and then what was it, IVX, Inhumans versus X-Men event, which a lot of people didn't really like. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it.
I actually did love the Inhuman book, though.
Yeah, a lot of people did kind of like it. I dropped it after a while, but it was actually pretty good, for what it was. So it's good to see them working again. And God, where has like Steve McNevin been? He's one of my all-time favorites. You know, he did the interiors for Civil War One, way back in like 2007 or whenever that came out.
And he did Old Man Logan.
Old Man Logan. I mean, he's like he's done other stuff too that we're forgetting. And Lord forgive us because he's like unbelievable artist. So
I just want to like take a moment that we're mentioning Steve McNiven. I'm just reminded by Keith Giffen passing away this past week.
Yeah.
And what a what an icon, honestly.
Absolutely.
I am kind of gutted because I was scheduled to talk with him next month.
Way.
Yeah, I was like gonna be a guest spot on this Gray Malcolm Lane podcast, and it was interviewing Keith Giffen. So I was really looking forward to it. I've loved him for a very long time. I had so many questions to ask him about Rocket and how he feels like, you know, his creation has taken a life of its own in the MCU. And yeah, when I got the news, I was really gutted. What a legend.
That's
so many titans of this industry are falling, unfortunately, which is just a thing that happens with time. But, you know, I just want to say thank you, Keith Giffen, and to everything that he created. It's just been, you know, he helped shape Marvel as it is right now.
Totally. You know what? You said it best. And first of all, going back, my God, that's so amazing. You were going to be on Gray Malkin's podcast. Love our friends over at Gray Malkin Lane podcast.
Definitely check that out. It's a great podcast.
Definitely check that out. Yeah, that's an excellent podcast. Excellent podcast. I'm sorry, buddy. That sucks.
No, it's totally fine.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I just wanted to, like, you know, give a little bit of an obituary because he was really a legend, and he will be dearly missed.
He will be. He will be. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you said it best. But, you know, he shaped up the universe as we really know it today. But yes.
Did.
Yeah. Carrying on.
Carrying on. We have the Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch booked. You know, it's going to be Steve Orlando on writing, and covers by I always mispronounce his surname. Doderman, I think. I don't know.
You might be right. I want to say you're right. You're usually better with this stuff than me.
I'm really looking forward to this one. I have loved Steve Orlando's solo Scarlet Witch book. And, you know, Lorenzo Tamera's art is gorgeous. So I'm excited to see the evolution of the story and where it's going to go and how it's going to bring Quicksilver in.
Me too. And I love the green suit that Quicksilver wears.
I
really love it. Yeah, classic. You know, I want to go back, you know, what is it, a month and a half ago to Steve Orlando saying, like, you know, kind of tweeting, it's this, you know, Wanda's book probably is not going to go to more than 12 issues. That kind of lines up with this series. So, you know, it's good to see that it's continuing. This is a limited, though. I do want to press that. This is only, I think, 4 issues. We'll see what happens with this. I'm gonna read it. I'm gonna buy it. Is it, you know, where it stands as far as being like on the excitement level? This is probably the least exciting comic that I heard about spinning out of New York City Comic Con. You know, we'll see what happens with it. I like the Wanda series. I would recommend it, I guess, just for the amazing art. Other than that, I'm here to see what it's about. I love Wanda. She's one of my favorite characters right now. I think that she's definitely probably the figurehead for female characters at Marvel right now. So I'm definitely invested in her, even more than Captain Marvel, in my opinion. I don't know about if you agree with that statement, but
me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll read it for her. Let's see what it's got. And you'll hear about it for sure. We have a good image. The art looks good, sort of promo piece for it. Yeah. Let's see what it's about. I don't have much else to add about that. So now let's kind of dig into some of the meat here that we have. So X-Men news, mutant stuff, right? We have
Krakoa.
The end of the X-Men Krakoan age begins in January of 2024. So they're wasting no time sort of getting right into... you know, right now we're going through the fall of X. And so there's 2 series coming out that's going to matter. Everybody listening, if you have any care at all about the X-Men, you should be picking these 2 series up, whether you're kind of just trying to jump on or you're just here to finish out the amazing story that's been taking place. Like we are, there's Fall of the House of X. That's going to be one series. And then there's another series.
Rise of the Powers of 10.
Yes. Yep. So, and I like how you say 10. I'm almost certain that's how it's to be pronounced.
Me
so
too. As soon as I saw it, I was like, yeah. I remember our conversation with with Jordan D. White.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Yep. So Fall of the House of X, Jerry Dugan, Lucas Wernick. That's a great team. And
great team.
Yeah, Rise of the Powers of Ten. We have Kieran Gillen and RB Silva. Both everyone here has somehow helped sort of the Krakoan age to some extent. Actually, I mean, not even to some extent. They really just kind of founded it and built it. So let's Absolutely. See where this goes. This is kind of the quote-unquote end of sort of the Krakoan age, if
I'm
you
sad
will.
To see it go, honestly. It's been like yeah. one heck of an era.
Let's
for
talk
X-Men.
For a second on that. Yeah, you loved it. You were.
I loved it. When it first started, I was reading every single title. I was picking mm-hmm. it all up. I inhaled all the issues. I fell off right... When did I fall off? Gosh, I can't recall. I think last August is when I stopped kind of like reading. But everything I've seen since then that's coming out has been nothing but exciting. Mm-hmm. And they reintroduced so many new different, you know, fan favorite characters and given them spotlight again. You know, the Hellfire Gala gave us so many iconic moments. And I'll always be happy with for this era, you know? Just the fact that it tried something different. It tried to incorporate the fans with the X vote, right? Like, they did something out of the box. They tried.
I'm going to make everybody have, like, a pain in their gut right now when I say this, right? And my brother brought it. He brought this to me, and I was like, damn, that just hurts to hear. Like imagine the mutants going back to, like, Westchester in, like, the X mansion. Like, that doesn't that just sad. Sound bad after everything that we've just gotten?
So like, they worked hard to get here. I would hate to see them regress, honestly.
Yeah, I would too. And also too, another series that's also extremely important is the Resurrection of Magneto. That's going to be coming out simultaneously with those two. And it looks like how they kind of laid it out is that it looks like he's a villain again. Maybe so. We'll see. You know.
I hope not too.
I might be pushing it with that one, but that's just the vibe I got. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm here for it. Let's see. I think it's gonna be intense, and I'm really excited. And everybody who knows me well on this podcast knows how excited I am that hopefully, you know, this will launch the X-Men into a great new era. We'll get Uncanny X-Men back, just a great series. I would love that because the X-Men series hasn't really felt like X-Men since the Krakoan age began. In my opinion, we gained so much. The one thing that we didn't really gain was like an Uncanny X-Men series that sort of, you know, which is a price I am willing to pay. And it's really at the end of it, not even a price to pay. So I'm excited. Let's see where we go with it. Just really great promo. Looks like everyone you want is going to be spotlighted in this event. That's all I got for sort of mutant stuff.
Let's talk about Chip Zdarsky's Twilight, Avengers Twilight.
Ooh.
Are you excited for that?
So I am.
It definitely feels like an Elseworlds type book.
Which we know he's capable of writing because I didn't read this, so I have to stop myself before I kind of go into it because I can't really speak to it too much. But I know his Spider-Man life story book was supposedly unbelievable. People loved it.
Yeah, right? I agree.
Yeah.
I loved it too. I thought it was a great, great book.
Yeah. So I he's capable. We all know Chip Zdarsky's probably top three writer right now.
What a meteoric rise Chip has had. Like his career trajectory is so interesting. He started as an artist.
Yeah.
You know?
His story.
Writing and what a meteoric rise, honestly. He should be very proud of himself.
Yeah, he really should be proud of himself. He's in a lot of ways a maverick in the industry, right? You know, the way he entered no one else will ever enter that way. And I know that goes for every creator and everybody has a different story, but the way that he entered, oh my gosh, it's so awesome. And I would encourage everybody listening right now to check out Joe Quesada's podcast. He had Chip on during COVID, right before Chip was about to be nominated for the Eisners for his first Eisner for Daredevil. And oh man, his story is unbelievable. Like you said, Anas, everybody should be aware of it. It's just so cool. So, going back to your preliminary question, I'm here to read it. You know, you have Daniel Acuna on art. He's A-list. And I, you know, same with him and Steve McNevin. Like, Steve McNevin's less so, but haven't seen Acuna on interiors in a while. So since Black Panther by Ta-Nehisi Coates, I think. Don't quote me on that, but I'm 99% sure. But I'm going to read it. Are you interested in it at all? I think I'm going to check it out.
I'm definitely going to try to pick it up, yes. I'm interested in anything, honestly, that Chipper Darcy does.
So, we don't really know too much about it, but it just seems like it's an
alternate future type story.
Yeah.
Set in the Marvel Universe. Chip said that there's going to be a lot of Nazis in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's definitely going to have a dark edge. And I'm interested to see where the story will go.
Yeah. And I don't know if he was joking. I don't know if he said this with a straight face or not when he said this too, but following his Nazi comment, he said at the panel, I didn't realize how many Nazis would be around now. And I'm like, at first I laughed, and then I was like, oh, that is unfortunately maybe a serious statement.
True. Yeah, that's sadly true. I mean, you know, we're not going to bring up Charlottesville.
Oh, God, I know. It's oh, geez. So, yes, so excited for that. Just want to touch on this for a second. Event at street level, you know, we're going to see Elektra Natchios, who's Daredevil right now. We're going to see She-Hulk. We're going to see Spider-Woman, Jessica Drew, Spidey, both Spideys.
Mary Jane getting her own solo title for the first time.
Yeah,
after the amazing Mary Jane.
Yeah. So lots of I am excited for it. I'm excited for it. We'll see where it goes. There's two more things that we really have to talk about here, and both are pretty big. So let's start with, I think, probably one of the biggest and that I'll have probably the most to say about. Yeah. Yep.
The ultimate return of the Ultimate Universe.
Yeah, it's coming back. Look.
How do you feel about it? I haven't read. There has been a precursor, right? There's something that has been set up that it's returning, right, for a while now. I'm going to be like the voice of the audience here. I know that a lot of characters from the Ultimate Universe ended up in 616 after Secret Wars, right?
Yep. You're not so wrong. Yeah.
How are they going to explain the fact that universe isn't gone anymore? Like, I don't know. Like, why is Miles in 616 now when the Ultimate Universe is right there and needs a Spider-Man, right?
Well, yeah. we'll see. I hate to be annoying and you're going to roll your eyes at me and probably not even laugh when I say this, and so will everybody else, but Jonathan Hickman is behind it. And whenever whenever there's something where I'm like, this doesn't really make sense, I usually just say Jonathan Hickman will figure it out, because he's just yeah, right. Yeah, sure. Annoying answer.
It's a big question, like, to be posed. Like, why is Miles on the 616 when the Ultimate Universe was never destroyed in the first place, or like it was hidden or whatever? It was there.
It's a little complicated, and for those wondering about Anas's question, definitely check out Ultimate Invasion, which is a 4-issue limited series that's going to be followed by a 1-shot, which comes out. I want to say like in a couple weeks. It might be this week. It might be in a couple weeks, where it's going to really flesh everything out, I think, a lot more than the limited series did. So, yes, let's see kind of how that all pans out. But and honestly, too, I really have to say this. I brought this up before a few podcasts ago. I was never a huge fan of the Ultimate Universe as a whole. Truly, I was never a huge fan of it. So let's see. I mean, look, if there's one thing that's just undeniable, it's the talent that they have here making these books on. Oh my gosh. I mean, like serious talent on these books, you know. So we have, you know, we have Ultimate Spider-Man with Jonathan Hickman and Marco Schicchetto. That's a stellar team. We have Ultimate Black Panther. Yeah, Ultimate Black Panther with Brian Hill and Stefano Caselli. We have Ultimate X-Men with just Peach Momoko. That's awesome. And then we have Ultimate Universe, Ultimate Avengers with Jonathan Hickman and Stefano Caselli. So lot to unpack there. You know, I guess Hickman described Momoko's X-Men as like so out there and unique that you can't even pitch it. It couldn't even be pitched. So
I'm in.
This is going to be like one of those out-of-body experience comics, I think. And Spider-Man's out in January, Black Panther February, X-Men is March. So it's a little timeline here. And, you know, Hickman called his Ultimate Spider-Man sort of like Ultimate Peter Ben Parker and said it's like about a midlife Peter. So if that interests you, that's cool. I don't know how much different that is than the Spider-Man we already have. Because he feels very midlife. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But look, the one thing I really want to say is that they're building this universe. They have some great talent on it. Like I said, I'm not a huge Ultimate Universe fan. I appreciate it for what it is and what it gave us and what it will hopefully continue to do. But I kind of wish some of these creators were coming to the prime Marvel Universe, Earth 616, to create.
Me
a
too,
little
honestly.
Bit. Yeah. Right? So, I mean, Marvel's tripling down on the Ultimate Universe. I don't know. Thoughts? I just went off on a tangent for like 2 minutes. Any thoughts on that?
I have never really read anything much of the Ultimate Universe outside of Spider-Man by Bendis.
Right.
I am aware of some less than savory storylines that were present in that universe. Mm-hmm. Cough, cough. Scarlet Witch being lovers with Pietro. Cough, cough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the list goes on.
The list goes on, but like that was the biggest, you know, like incest.
Right.
But well, you know, I'm interested to see how they're gonna revive it, what kind of new fresh ideas they're gonna bring, and how they're gonna really set it apart from the 616 universe, right? Because the 616 universe has like you can't say it hasn't been daring. I mean, they took Black Panther to like space, you know, they did like they're doing big things, big swings. So if they're saying this is gonna be the Ultimate Universe and it's gonna be like out of the box and really out of this world. I'm interested to see how they're going to take it and how they're going to shape this universe for, you know, from scratch.
Yes. Yeah, literally from scratch. Like, I mean, it's yeah,
it's
we'll see. It's a reboot. It's a reboot. And, you know, I'm here for the experience. It's just going to be interesting how they do stuff. It really is. It's going to be interesting. We'll see what happens. You know, very curious as to what, you know, some versions of new Ultimate characters will look like, how that'll pan out. I don't have much else to add on that. We'll see how it goes. You know, I mean, anything led by Hickman, I definitely have interest in. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, no, that's good. And then we have one more, and this I'm excited about. We have Marvel's Blood Hunt event coming in spring 2024, which is going to be written by Jed McKay, art by Pepe Larraz and Marte Garcia. This is, I'm excited for. I'm excited for, you know, for a lot of reasons. Jed McKay's so good. He's probably spearheading the most Marvel Universe stuff right now, I would say, with Doctor Strange, the Avengers, Moon Knight, he's doing a lot. So I think that this will all tie in pretty well. The promo looks pretty badass. It's just vampires invading the Marvel Universe and sort of taking, and just taking everybody on. We'll see.
I wonder if Elsa have a big role for that and maybe Bloodline since she had her own miniseries this year.
Hell yeah, get Werewolf by Night in there too. Like, mix it up. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Maybe some Midnight Suns.
Ooh, that would be mint. Oh, that would be mint. You know I love them. So, look, just a great mind and artist. Oh, God, Pepe Larraz is so good. He's so good.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm excited. I will be reading this full and through. There will be tie-ins. It's a proper Marvel event. Blade's book right now is so good. It's so good. It's for mature readers, you know, quote-unquote, only. You know, that will probably tie in. Just a classic Marvel event that's going to be coming in the spring. I'm here for it. Let's see how it goes. Should be a lot of vampire fun. I love that kind of stuff in comics. So this is definitely a love letter to me, it seems. yeah, overall, pretty excited. And that's a majority of the stuff that came out of New York City Comic Con, guys. You know, lots there to unpack. All good stuff, though. All pretty exciting, you know, as far as announcements goes.
Yeah, I agree. It's been one heck of a year at Comic-Con, and it seems like really good things are coming on the horizon, honestly. It's always a very exciting event.
Yes. Yes, it does. And lots of good stuff coming out. And that's only, you know, there's also a lot of other series that will be popping left and right. Those are some of the biggest ones. But Marvel does a good job of pacing sort of the year. So we'll see what else comes out. We'll see what else comes out. All good stuff. Yeah, that's pretty much everything I have. Anas, anything else to add?
Not really much from me to say. I'm just one last thing. I'm excited about the Infinity Pause book that's going to be coming out for the with the Marvel Animals. That's going to be really fun. And I love Jeff by Kelly
Thompson.
We
skipped that. Yeah, I was like, do we want to talk about this? I'm glad you brought it up.
It's a cute book. I love those kind of books.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, there's Alligator Loki, which is getting a series right now. Actually, it might be over. Don't quote me on that. I forget. But it's just like the animals. Yeah, Marvel does this a lot from time to time. Like every like 3 years, there will be like another Avengers pet book, I feel like, which tells me someone's buying it. But ultimately, that's where we're
books
at.
Are hit at libraries, by the way.
Yes.
You might not see them being, you know, sold out and second printing and third printing at comic book shops, even though it's Jeff did get a second printing and third printing. But these books are a huge hit at libraries, at public schools, at like, you know, because they're family friendly. And just like Moon Girl was a huge hit, but everybody in the comic book sphere was like not aware of how famous it is. And that book went on for like, what, 50 something issues because it was a huge hit with kids. Right. That's an untapped market that Marvel really should be aiming at. And that's why we got the Moon Girl animated TV series, which was fantastic, by the way.
Probably one of my favorite Marvel productions.
That was really? Such a good show. So stylistic, so inspired by like Marvel's, you know, Into the Spider-Verse. Very unique style and animation. I loved it.
Yeah, that's so awesome.
Never discount the power of children.
Yeah, they are absolutely. Yep. Amen to that. You know what? Whatever keeps this medium going, because that's how kids break in too. You know what I mean? Like it really helps, because then they see that, and then they see Spidey pop up in a book or two, and then, you know, that takes them from there. So no, that's good. I'm glad you brought that book up. If anybody wants to check that out. You know, might be
buy
worth
a copy for your kids.
Buy it for your kids, your nephews, nieces, whatever it may be. That's basically all that we have for this week, everybody. Really, really excited for stuff coming up. Can't wait to keep discussing Loki. Again, great second episode. Let's keep the momentum bursting with the third, hopefully, and we will be here to cover it all. So that's awesome. If you're a new time listener, thank you so much for checking us out. We hope you will join us next week in the weeks to come, where we have more excitement, you know, just coming out always. Lots more to talk about, you know, especially with the SAG-AFTRA stuff kind of coming to a close, hopefully, ? There'll be more MCU news, more stuff like that. But follow us on Geekable_podcast for, you know, lots of content updates. Definitely we would love to support Omniverse Comics Guide. Check them out at omniversecomicsguide.com, where you can find the most in-depth reading orders, even more comic podcasts and videos by great people, news and reviews. And for those who support and subscribe to them, the Omniverse Comics Guide site, you can also get some access to subscriber-only exclusive content. Really worth checking out. I've leveraged it for a lot of my reading orders and stuff like that, you know, just as a fan. Great way to break into comics too, so definitely check that out. Well worth it. And that's all we have, guys. Pleasure. And Anas, thank you for joining, and we will
thank
see everybody. Absolutely, always a good time, and we'll see everybody next time. So thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye, everyone.
Have a good one.